The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
Nice. Guys are already in full Halloween mode, even though we didn't dress up today. I had my SpongeBob costume on this morning. I was going to drive to work wearing my SpongeBob, my yellow tights, my little sailor's cap. Pulled out. I had my zombie stuff out. It's going to be nice. I'm still debating about getting the $2 candy bars tonight at the Sesmat Enclave, or if I'm going to hand out the double bubble 2 cent a piece or dental floss. I'm not
raisins.
Sure. Raisins. Raisins. Isn't that the worst on
nickels.
Halloween?
Nickels.
Yeah. Are you one of those people that puts the bowl out front?
Oh, come on. Silly. Of course not.
Please take just one. It's a good
Said
Halloween.
No one ever.
Yeah, right. Brad Sesmat, Eric Sorensen, Sports 360 AZ on this Halloween night. You can give me a little bit more of that, Jared. It's fine. I mean, you can run this the whole time. I don't know if you have other Halloween stuff. If you're going to work Monster Mash and
we've got some good stuff. We might just play it under the entire show. No, I'm just only kidding.
We have Jake Plummer coming on in 15 minutes. This would not be too annoying to have Michael Jackson under Jake Plummer.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. But I dressed as a radio talk show producer.
As did I.
Yeah. Collared shirt, jeans, dress shoes.
Do our thing.
Typical attire.
Was going to be shorts, t-shirt, and I was going to have flip-flops and scratch during the whole show today. Just do a guy thing. You know, just kind of hang out here. Dude, it's Halloween. You know,
it's a great day. Who doesn't love Halloween?
It's Halloween and there's sports on tonight. You know, there's a hockey game on tonight. There's the NFL that's on tonight. There's a college football game on tonight. It's pretty simple. Hey, I think it's time for you guys to go trick-or-treating. I'll stay here and hand out candy. And as soon as they leave, you turn out the lights to make it look like nobody's home, and you go to the back of the house, and you open an adult beverage, and you take all the candy, and you hoard it to yourself, and you watch the Dolphins and Bengals. That's my plan tonight. No, I'm just kidding. I'm into this. Later today, I have to go to a pumpkin bowling contest at my nine-year-old's school. They fill these pumpkins full of chocolate and marshmallow sauce, and then they bowl them, and they explode. I'm into this. I mean, what guy would not want to be into candy and chocolate and marshmallows and caramel exploding everywhere? I might slide down the slip and slide of the bowling alley when I'm done with it just to eat all that goop. On the show front. So Jake Plummer here. We will get into this. Jake Plummer here in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk to Jake. He joins us every week, the Fiesta Bowl Roundtable Show with Jake Plummer. The Fiesta Bowl and Jake Plummer, a winning combination. We actually have to start talking a little bit about what the Fiesta Bowl game might look like. Baylor-Fresno State. The Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl may look like Texas-Nebraska. Because we have a couple of bowl games coming here to Arizona, but this weekend, it's Miami-Florida State. Good stuff there. And could Miami play Arizona State in a bowl game? There's some projections that suggest that. We are going to talk to Jake, too, about tonight, Thursday Night Football, Arizona State at Washington State. Jake, I'm sure, has played at Pullman many times, although I'm pretty positive he didn't line up on the other side of the field from a quarterback that threw the ball 80 times. And that's what the quarterback did this last time out for Mike Leach's team. So we might be watching football at midnight tonight. It should be quite a bit of fun. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. Also, NFL talk with Clark Judge, NFL Insider, all things NFL with Clark Judge, Des Bryant, a Miami Dolphins player going AWOL with psychological problems. How often does that happen? Barrett Robbins' name comes to mind. Other things around the NFL. The Bengals tonight, and what a surprise they are. So here's what's on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Even on Halloween night, why not pull the slots? Or Halloween day, pull the slots. Big winnings, great food, great fun, sports that's on TVs tonight. It's all there for you. You can stay there through this great weekend. The Honda Resort and Casino, it's the home of the biggest, baddest brown fishing tournament as well. Always a good time to be had by all at the Honda Resort and Casino. I'm going to start with the Red Sox because, yeah, they're World Series champs. Shane Victorino, a 3-run double last night. The Sox win the series. I thought a terrific Major League Series. I've yet to see the ratings yet. I'm sure they'll come out at some point, and they're not going to be all that terrific. Doesn't matter. I don't judge, in my space, I don't get all caught up in how many people are watching. You do acknowledge it. You do acknowledge it, but it's not the end all of end alls. Terrific World Series, terrific sporting event. I thought as the game rolled on that having Victorino, who had a terrific postseason, continue to make big plays was a huge storyline.
2-1, Walker ready. He kicks and fires. Swing, there's a fly ball, left field, deep. And this ball is going to be off the green. It hits the Cavinian sign. Ellsbury scores, Ortiz scores. Here comes Gomes to the plate. The throw, he slides, he's saved. 3-run score, and over to third, Victorino.
You got to love WEEI. They're just having fun there. And then it came down to the final out on the Red Sox call.
Koji ready. He turns on the rubber, the 2-2 home. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. The 2013 Red Sox are the world champions. And Boston Strong.
Boston Strong. I'm not going to make any jokes. I'm not going to say anything that even tries to be funny or questionable because they've been through a lot back there. This is great for sports. This is good for our country. You know, sports is a distraction. You guys may just be saying our country. You know, we got this Obamacare thing that can't get fixed, and we've got this stuff going on overseas. And yeah, and that stuff's very serious. And sports is just a little slice to take you away from all the serious, heavy lifting stuff. Here's former Sun Devil Dustin Pedroia.
There's a ton of the guys that did something special throughout the year and even in the postseason that brought us to this moment. It's a total team effort, and I'm just proud of all the guys.
Now, after the game, did you have a problem? Eric, did you see the after part of the game?
Not all of it. I was flip-flopping between that and the Suns.
So. Yeah. Erin Andrews. So after the game, Erin Andrews has the ceremony where she is the one up on stage. My childhood friend, Jeannie Zelasco, did that with the Diamondbacks and Yankees back in the day. And Jeannie has since moved on. She's actually the court reporter. The court reporter for Judge Judy now. You go from doing NASCAR to MLB on Fox to court reporter for Judge Judy. It's much more, less travel and much more security, I guess. So Erin Andrews, after the game, I noticed this, and some people picked up on it after the game. Erin Andrews had a sheet of paper with her. And she said, okay, and now let's, and she looks at her sheet of paper, let's welcome up John Henry, the owner of the team. John Henry's, let's acknowledge, and she looks at the paper, Larry Lucchino, she didn't know who they were. So, and Tim McCarver left last night too, and Tim McCarver's send-off was fine. It was fine. A couple things on last night. I do have to have somebody who knows who the owners are when they do the presentation. I don't think you need to have notes for something like that. That was hard to watch. I thought as the game progressed, they did a couple terrific things. There was a shot of the home plate umpire going over and visiting with a fan who'd been there for 50 years. I don't know if you saw that. And they used the little interview of the umpire with a fan is like the sixth inning.
And I thought it was cool too, Brad. I don't know if you saw it when they did the in-game interview with John Farrell. He specifically thanked Tim McCarver.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. Like, that was just like, you know, hey, we're going to take a second. Just thank you for everything you've done
right. For
the last, 25 years of calling these games. So it was kind of nice. Like, John Farrell just seems like a good guy. So.
John Farrell seems like a good guy. Mike Matheny seems like a good guy.
Definitely.
So,
definitely.
You know, both those guys are embraceable. So I had a little bit of problems with Erin Andrews. I liked where she did interview a store owner who's been at games. He's like 88, and he had no idea what was going on other than they were going to win, and he had to go back and run his store, and he was sitting by an home plate. I thought that was pretty cool. So you have to capture the moment. Not having the owners in place and having to use a cheat sheet, that was interesting. Tim McCarver's goodbye was appropriate, and it was well done. I'm happy that he is going to go enjoy retirement, and it was definitely time for him to move on. That's not a slam. It's just the reference to Bob Gibson and the 60-some-odd Cardinals for 25 years had worn out its welcome. And there were things that were being said towards the end where it's like John Madden walked away, and I still listen to John Madden when he does interviews. I hear John Madden, he does some stuff on satellite. And he's still really good. He's still John Madden. But there's just that little bit of not quite John Madden where it's a little uncomfortable. And there's those people that get out of the business early. We love hearing them, but they know when it's time to go. And I think it's, you know, in Tim McCarver's case, and there'd be purists that would say, well, what are you beating up on Tim McCarver for? I'm not. I'm just saying it's time for a fresh voice on that one. It just is. The Sun Devil game tonight. So ASU plays tonight at 7:30. Marion Grice, a number one draft pick in the NFL. That's certainly the conversation that I am hearing from agents and this point of the season, even a couple of NFL people, that Grice and Kadeem Carey could go 1 and 2 in terms of running backs. I think that's a really good story. ASU's not a good road team. They haven't been a good road team. Eric and I saw them at Stanford. Eric saw them at Notre Dame. They just don't do well on the road. It's supposed to be 48 and rain tonight in Pullman. The students get out of class at noon. They're going to party their little backsides off. And if they were to put a breathalyzer on every kid walking through the gate, I'm sure that 98% of them would not pass by the time the game kicks tonight at 7:30. Defensively, ASU has 10 sacks and 19 tackles in their last couple of games. Take it up a notch tonight against Washington State. I think that they can do that. Here is Paul Randolph, defensive coordinator for the Sun Devils, who was with us earlier on the show on No Secret About Washington State.
You know, that's who they are, though, you know, and Coach Leach, you know, he doesn't pretend about it. You know, they are a throw-it team. Naturally, a lot of their throws are what we call runs. You know, they're bubbles, which are just like running a toss. But, you know, naturally, if it's thrown forward by the quarterback, it counts as a pass. And 89 of them are quite a bit. And naturally, you know, we're going to have our hands full.
89 passes in a game. Mike Leach, is this a revenge game for what happened after what happened in Tempe this last year down here?
No, it's a ridiculous motivator. I think that the motivation needs to be to play the very best that you can and focus on your job and be the best team that you can be and play together and win your individual battles, because for no other reason you owe it to the guy next to you.
Well put by Mike Leach. Tyron Matthew named the NFC Rookie Defensive Player of the Month. Eric's Facebook question of the day today. Eric Alls jumps in with a Facebook question of the day, and today's question is...
Well, of course, because it's Halloween, we had to tie it in.
Yeah.
Holiday related, what athlete, coach, executive, or team has been a trick or a treat this past year in Arizona sports? And let me tell you, I bet you can guess who tops the list of tricks over the last year in Arizona sports.
Last year?
Yeah.
Well, the Diamondbacks were just awful the second half of the season. So they
were. It's more of a player.
Oh, Michael Beasley.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Michael Beasley's going to win every award for biggest stiff, biggest dope, biggest this, biggest that.
And we did have Ryan McDonough as a treat.
Well, I would agree with that.
So
Jeff Hornacek, you know, last night, please tap the brakes. Man, I know the newspaper here is struggling. I get it. But you don't have to have pom-poms and have these blaring headlines about maybe they're not going to be so bad. It's one freaking game. I mean, it's almost embarrassing when, and I know there's only one newspaper voice, but gosh, it's like, let's just be a little objective. I know the owner comes down and meets with the editorial board and beats up on you guys. And I know that they call the radio station that carries the games and beats up on them. Just stop, have a spine, and let's call it as it is. It was a nice win last night.
Rigging for Wiggins. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, they screwed up in that regard.
Totally.
But gosh, we are in such a, we are so starved here that one win over Portland, and all of a sudden is, oh, maybe they're not going to be as bad. Maybe Miles Plumlee is going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, when he buys a ticket. I mean, come on. Let's just relax here. All right. Did you see last night where Miami lost to Philly? And they were down 19-0 in that game, and Dwayne Wade didn't play. How do you get down 19-0 to Philly? Jake Plummer is on the other side. Jake Plummer and the Fiesta Bowl winning combination. Every week we talk college football with Jake Plummer, the great Sun Devil, part of the Pac-12 network. He joins us next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time for the Fiesta Bowl Roundtable. So with Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer and the Fiesta Bowl, a winning combination. Pac-12 network analyst. Of course, the great Sun Devil and NFLer. He is on Halloween. Are you giving out good stuff tonight at the Plummer household?
Oh, your regular candy, you know, just a mixed bag of Twizzlers and Milk Duds and whatnot. You know, used to get judged by how you handed out candy, but I'm retired now, man. No one cares.
Don't go to Jake Plummer's house because he's only giving out nickels. You know? So, no, seriously. So when you were a quarterback and in the NFL, there was an expectation from parents, right?
Yeah, I lived up in Ahwatukee. They'd bring bus loads of kids from all around town and bring them up to, you know, that nice part of the neighborhood. And sometimes the kids expected a little more than what they got. It was kind of funny. You know, I always had fun with it, tried to, you know, scare the kids. So maybe I was just getting it back for scaring them.
Yeah. Do you ever dress up, Jake?
I always dress up. I love dressing up. Yeah.
What are you going to be this year?
Well, we had a little party on Saturday for some kids and some friends, and I was a Boy Scout, actually. My name was Mike S. S was short for somebody. You probably could figure that one out.
Yeah. I think I can figure that one out. A Boy Scout. What would motivate you to be a Boy Scout there, Jake?
Oh, I don't know. It was just what I found in my closet and pieced together as the day before the party. And, you know, the costumes that are the best are always the ones you kind of throw together last minute. So
sure,
it ended
sure.
up being a good one. I had my knife and fork and spoon on my, you know, duct tape to my belt and my compass and binoculars and all that good stuff. So I was prepared as a Boy Scout.
Were you a Boy Scout at one time?
No, I was not a Boy Scout.
I was going to say, I wouldn't think so. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a shot. It's just all right. So let's get into this. You're on set this week, right, at the Pac-12
yep.
Network? All right. Pac-12 title game is played today. Who's in the Pac-12 title game? Forget the standings. Just who, in your mind, who's it going to be?
I would say right now, just from, you know, the look of things, and if things stayed the same, I'd say Oregon against ASU.
You're not going to go down UCLA, huh?
You know, I like UCLA's team. They got a really solid ball club. I think they got maybe one of the best linebacker core in the Pac-12 for sure. Some of the, you know, young talent there in the back end. I think they're good, but they just seem to be, you know, struggling a little bit. Obviously, they played top two teams back to back and got exposed. But I'm going to go with my heart a little bit on this. And just mm-hmm. after I saw what, you know, ASU did to UW's run game and their ability on offense to put up points, and it seems like no one can stop Marion Grice. I'd like to see them continue on that pace. It'd be fun to see them play against Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game.
I actually had a couple of agents and even an NFL guy tell me that Marion Grice and Kadeem Carey, right now you can make the argument, will be the 1 and 2 backs taken in the draft this year. I mean, assuming Carey comes out.
Yeah, you know, I think Kadeem Carey, from what I've seen, I think, you know, he doesn't catch the ball as much as Marion Grice, but I know that both of them are real. Just, I call them sleepy backs. You know, they just get those 3, 4, 8 yards here and there, and before you know it, they're over 100, and they've scored a few TDs. I mean, they're just quality running backs. You know, Kadeem Carey, I think, across the country, I think he's definitely probably the best running back out there, down in, down out. He just does it all. And, you know, I do like Marion Grice just because kid knows how to find the end zone, and when it comes to winning games, you got to score points.
You can't coach that.
No, you can't. He's got a nose for it, and he's got a knack for making plays. He fits really well into that offense, and you know, you see that offense just continuing to be very potent. And if that D, like I said, if they can bottle what they did against UW and continue to do that for, you know, the remainder of the season, they got some tough games. I think that they could surprise some people.
Jake Plummer and the Fiesta Bowl winning combination. Jake Plummer joins us every week with Brad Sussmat. Mike Leach, last game out, and the game is being played tonight. We're not going to see Washington State in a big-time bowl game this year. Arizona State still has the potential to be there. But just talking about Mike Leach, Jake, a coach that has a quarterback throw the ball 89 times in a game, and that's not a misstatement, that's not joking, 89 times in a game. Have you ever seen something like that? Is that good for a quarterback?
You know, it all depends. I mean, the quarterbacks, we all love to throw the ball as much as we can, but I think there's got to be balance. At some point, you know, you can't ride one man's arm the whole way. You got to have someone else there to take a little bit of the brunt of the other side of the ball, the defense coming after them. You know what you got to do against Wazoo. You don't really have to worry about the run game. You just got to try to get pressure on Connor Halliday and keep him off balance. And the tough thing for him is, you know, it's a lot of pressure on his arm, and every throw he makes, you know, if you think about it, he's thrown 17 picks, but he's thrown so many balls that really, you can't blame him. I mean, the ball's in the air all the time. So I don't believe that you can win consistently. I don't believe you can be a team that can go and compete for, say, a Pac-12 championship without a balance, without a run game.
Mm-hmm. And playing in Pullman, just what was that like for you?
You know, I played there my freshman year, came out in the second half, and I was when I took the reins at ASU, and they had the number one defense in the country. They were pretty amazing, and it was fun because it was close to home, part of home where my dad lived in Coeur d'Alene. I spent a lot of my youth up in North Idaho, so I was familiar with the area. Pullman's a neat little town, a great little community. They love their Cougars. It's a beautiful part of the country up there, the Palouse, but it's a tough stadium to play in, and it's going to be, cold, Halloween night, bunch of craziness happening. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, it's a test for ASU on the road. It'll be fun to see how they respond. Obviously, I remember all my coaches, most of them, when we go on the road, take their first couple knockout punches, weather through those first little bit of excitement and amped up that the Cougs will be, weather that and then settle into your game plan and just go about business. And then in the end, you should be able to pull out of there with a win. But it'll be a tough test for them, obviously. And I'm looking for them to step up and hopefully, come out of there with the W.
Saturday's game of the day is Miami against Florida State. I watched a lot of Miami last week. They were able to somehow, some way pull it out. The more that I watch Jameis Winston, the more that I'm just looking around at the other quarterbacks, other than Manziel, and Manziel's just built differently. He's a different quarterback than Winston. Florida State's favored by 21, and it's a battle of two teams that are ranked in the top 10. You have a thought or two on this matchup or Winston or just FSU Miami?
Yeah, it's fun to see both those teams back because growing up as a youngster myself, they were always in the top 10, seemed like, whenever they played. And it's good for college football. But I think if you really look at it, I think Miami may be a little overrated, maybe not overranked, I should say.
I agree.
They maybe should not be in the top 10, maybe top 20. But still, it's a marquee matchup. And I think, both quarterbacks are fun to watch. They make plays. But I think right now Winston's playing at a better clip, a better level. He's making a lot of great throws, controlling the ball, not turning it over. And I really like his attitude and personality. He just seems to be, encompassing what Florida State kind of had years back. He said on TV last week, FSU's getting our swag back. And that's a confident young man who's out there leading his team. And one thing for sure that he's doing is he's having a lot of fun doing it. And you can really see by his play. So he's definitely not in a class by himself, I wouldn't say, but he's definitely risen to the top of one of the top QBs, fun guys to watch. Manziel's fun to watch. Mariota's a unbelievable. I mean, what he's done, taking care of the football, no interceptions, what he can do when he gets out of the pocket. There's a lot of fun guys to watch out in the college ranks these days.
And I think college football's is better when you have those traditional programs back relevant again. Because Florida, like you said, Florida State and Miami were so far down. There's even some projections that Miami of Florida could meet Arizona State in the Sun Bowl this year. And see, to me, I think that would be a terrific matchup to watch.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. I we got to play Miami, I think it was my sophomore year in Tempe. And for me, that was a thrill. You watch the games in Boise, we got a lot of times were Miami Hurricane games. And it's always fun to play in those big games, to get a matchup against the big dogs that have the perennial powerhouses. And they fell off for a while, but they seem to be back. And I think, out of the two teams, I think FSU is the more well-rounded team that can definitely go and, it could represent the ACC in the championship game. Who knows?
Before I let you go, so the projections right now, and again, we're now on the back end of the season, the Fiesta Bowl would have Baylor against Fresno State, potentially. Baylor is putting up points like they're just going out of style. Fresno State survived the other night against San Diego State. There's a belief that Fresno State is now becoming the next Boise State. The Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl down here could be Texas and Nebraska, which I think having two traditionals would be terrific matchups. You have a thought or two on some of these early projections of bowl games?
Yeah, it's too early really for me to look at projections, and there's so many things that can happen, especially in the Pac-12. If you look at the conference games that are still left, I believe ASU has five conference games left. I mean, there's a lot of tough games ahead for a lot of these teams that are trying to, represent the North or the South in the Pac-12 championship game. So a lot of things have to shake out. you know, projections, who knows? It's always fun to look at matchups and wonder what it would be like. But I'm looking forward to the bowl season. You know, I hope that, you know, if we don't, you know, beat ourselves up in the Pac-12 by beating each other, that, you know, we can get quite a few representatives, if not, you know, 10 teams possibly into bowl games, which would be really good for the conference. But when it comes down to it, all I really want to see out of the Pac-12 is our best beat whoever else is best for the national title. And right now our best is Oregon. Oregon is far and above the best team in the Pac-12. If they can remain undefeated and get a chance to play Alabama, you know, you talk about SEC, Pac-12, what's the best conference is. It doesn't matter, I don't think, in the championship game. If we could get a W, then it's our best beating their best, and it'd be a big, big step for the Pac-12.
Stay well. Enjoy your Halloween night. Thanks for the visit.
Right on, Brad. Take care, man.
Jake Plummer every week. Jake Plummer and the Fiesta Bowl winning combination. Appreciate Jake Plummer and the Fiesta Bowl, part of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com, crushing it on the college football front. On the other side, Clark Judge, all things NFL. So there's a player today that many of you may have never heard of that went to Twitter, who put out an amazing rant about concussions. He's a former Arizona Cardinal. I'll tell you about that. Plus, a player that's gone AWOL with the Miami Dolphins. They play tonight. He's just kind of gone off the edge after his teammates got on his case. Talk about that and some other NFL. That's next with Clark Judge. Good Thursday, good Halloween. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks again to Jake Plummer. Now we turn our attention, all things NFL, Clark Judge, NFL insider, longtime covering the league. Have you seen Hamza Abdullah's timeline today on Twitter, former NFL running back?
I'm looking at them right now.
Pretty amazing. So for the audience, Hamza Abdullah was a bit player with the Arizona Cardinals. I think that's the best way to put it. And he went to Twitter about 2 hours ago and just started going off about concussions and the NFL lying about injuries to him and things that you just read, and obviously he's disturbed. This is not the first player that has taken the route publicly, but I've never seen two straight hours of laying out example after example of how the NFL covered up injuries, Clark. I mean, it's disturbing.
Yeah, and in a profane way, too. I mean, it's a guy who's really angry. You know, I look at some of this, and, you know, I understand where he's coming from, but, you know, then when he starts talking about, you know, he's comparing the NFL combine to a slave trade, and then, you know, the slaves on the plantation. Well, I mean, players, last time I checked, players had a choice whether they wanted to go into football, and these guys would get invited to the combine. You know, they consider that sort of an honor, and they get a lot of money. I don't consider it a slave trade. Now, that's completely different from what the NFL is doing with the concussion side of it, but they don't have to go into the NFL. They don't have to play. They don't have to make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. That's not to say they don't play a very dangerous and risky game that has all sorts of repercussions for a physical injury. But, you know, I think some of this is, I look at it and just go, it's the rantings of a guy who's
needs help.
Who needs help.
But are there other players? I've talked to other players, and most of them don't want to come on. Tony Mandrich will come on this show whenever I want to have Tony Mandrich on, and he will talk very openly about what he saw and what he went through in the NFL. There's other players, and I'm sure you're in the same boat, that won't come on. They don't want to put their names out there, but they will go through some of these same examples of how doctors covered up injuries, how doctors misdiagnosed injuries, how teams didn't let them know how severe it was.
Right. No, that's right. And that's nothing new. And that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I go back to San Diego, you know, a couple of decades ago, and that was going on there. I mean, I heard some stories there years after I covered the team about things that sort of disturbed me, players who were told to play even though they were hurt. That's gone on for a while, and is it right? No, it's not. It's not right at all. And now it's starting to come to light, and does someone like Abdullah have a reason to bitch about that? Sure he does. So do the other players. I mean, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. To me, as I said, this goes a lot farther than that. But some of what he's saying is felt by other players. There's an anger there, but you're right. Some of these guys going, I don't really want to come out and either jeopardize my standing with the community or be labeled as a turncoat, that sort of thing. You know, there are plenty of players who feel similarly, maybe not so profanely or so one-sided as he does, but I think there are players who feel as if, yeah, there's some wrongdoing there. And did the NFL take a long time before they connected brain injury to concussions? And yeah, they did. and helmets, hits, they did. It took them a long time.
And it leads into tonight's game. So Miami plays Cincinnati tonight. The Dolphins are heading one direction, which has not been good recently. The Bengals are heading another direction, which is very good. The Dolphins are not going to have one of their players tonight. Jonathan Martin left the team, is now receiving professional assistance for emotional issues. You and I aren't there, but the league does have some things in place for players. We don't see guys jump the wall very often. Barrett Robbins is the last name that comes to my mind on it.
Right.
How about you? I mean, psychological issues for players and what the NFL does in the assistance program.
Yeah, I think it's actually pretty decent there. I mean, I covered a team that did have a player leave. It disappeared. And I found out about it, and they couldn't find him, and they finally did, and he needed some help. But they are pretty good about that. And as I said, we have no idea what's going on here other than what I've heard. But, yeah, I mean, here's a guy who needs some help, and the team and the league does offer that kind of professional help, and I think that's good. I really think that's good. And I think going back to the original thing here, the league's beginning to wake up to the connection with physical damage as well. That's good, too. Should have done it a while ago? Absolutely should have. But for whatever reason, it didn't make the connection. Now it did, and I think the cynics among us would say it did because of those lawsuits that were hanging over them. Well, that lawsuit got settled. It's going to be something that's going to be an issue ongoing. I mean, there was a story last night about how the pads and helmets and all protective gear really actually don't protect these guys.
Right.
Well, I don't think that's a real revelation either, but we're going to get more and more into this, Brad. And then, as I said, with the emotional issues in terms of your question, I think that's one area where the league does have itself pretty well covered.
Where you come down on Daniel Snyder and Roger Goodell and the plans, right now, Snyder said last night he has no plans to change the team's nickname. Where do you come down on that one?
Well, that one's pretty cut and dry to me. I think eventually he's going to have to. He's going to have to do it because I do consider it a slur. When I hear that name, honestly, when you're a kid and you grow up with that, you don't pay attention to it. And then as you get older and you hear the people who are affected, I mean, this is the leader of Indian Nation yesterday speaking to some officials here in New York. There are people who are concerned about it. And I think, when the president steps forward and says something, maybe we should look at it. And I think eventually there's going to be so much pressure to bear that he's going to have to, or somebody is going to have to change that team's name. Will they be the Redskins forever? No, they won't. And I don't think they should be. I do think there's something just wrong with calling them that. I mean, if it's objectionable to the people who are affected, and I do think it is objectionable to some of them, maybe not the majority, but to some of them, I think it bears looking into. But Daniel Snyder is just like, no, we're not doing it. It's got to be some dialogue here.
Does it have to be a dialogue, or can the commissioner just come in with the hammer?
Can the owners come in? The commissioner can come in with a hammer to squeeze the owner. It's up to the owner. The owner is the one who's going to have to make the decision. So what Roger's going to have to do is, if he really wants to see this change, is squeeze him publicly, privately, and maybe through other owners as well, and eventually come around to it. I mean, there are all sorts of repercussions with this because, you change the name. What about all the gear, that sort of stuff, the trademarks, all that? I understand that. That said, is it right to call these guys the Redskins? After everything I've heard, I'd say no. I'd say that we need to have the same change. And I think eventually, as I said, it will be.
But in Roger's case right now, Clark, we're talking with Clark Judge, All Things NFL with Clark, 30 years covering the National Football League plus. Are there bigger issues for Roger Goodell to be in the middle of than this one?
Yeah, I think there probably are, and that's why I saw yesterday when there was a meeting with the Indian Nation. He wasn't there. He was traveling. There were other NFL officials there. That should tell you the priority, at least at this juncture, of that issue to the commissioner's office. That doesn't mean it's not interested. It is, but he didn't even sit in on it.
Mm-hmm.
He does have other issues, such as what we just talked about 5 minutes ago, which was this concussion thing. That's an ongoing debate and discussion. Even though that there was that settlement earlier, it's kind of like each week, each month, someone goes down, there's a serious injury. What are we doing now? They can't hit high. Are they hitting low? I mean, it's all sorts of things that deal with player safety, and I think that's his first concern, taking care of the players here. This is on the table, but it's on the back burner, and I think it's going to start. When the president said something about it, moved it forward for a week or so. It's back on the back burner because I think they feel there's just not enough support out there to get anything done. But more importantly, there's not enough support by the owner of the Washington Redskins. He's clear. He's just saying, I'm not going to do it, period. So to me, until or unless there's pressure brought to bear on him, especially from the commissioner and maybe other owners as well, I don't think it is going to change. But as I said to you, I think eventually he's going to be forced, or someone, whoever owns that team, is going to be forced to change that team's nickname.
Okay, so fans that aren't familiar with Brandon Merriweather and what happened this week, he said that now he's sorry for comments he made about Brandon Marshall and going after his legs and tackling low. What can the players' union do, and are there a lot of players on the defensive side that are saying, okay, I have this four-foot area that I could go tackle, and suddenly that four-foot area is becoming less and less and less. So as a defensive player, if I'm going to go make my money, I'm just going to go hit wherever I want to hit. Are there players that feel the same as Merriweather, in your opinion?
I think there are. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think there are, but they're smart enough not to say anything. I mean, what can the players' union do? Really nothing. I mean, he said something, and they can say to him, he apologizes for his comments. He didn't mean to say it. That's what they've said. And that's what D. Smith came out and just said, you know, he didn't mean what he said. He's apologizing. Well, that's after the fact. He said what he said, and he said it for a reason. But the question is, will this change his game, the way he plays his game? I think we got to wait to find out. But I do think that when you start eliminating that upper zone, as it should be, the headshots and the close to the head and the shoulders, and that when you eliminate that, players start going lower. Well, to me, start wrapping around the middle of the body or the thighs or whatever. And occasionally, you're gonna have to tackle the knee and below. That's what's going to happen. But when you see guys going straight at knees, that's what bothers me. And that's not the problem, Brad. Is it's not tackling. It's launching a body led by the head. It's a head first tackle that hits that knee and then crushes it. If you wrap like guys tackled years ago, you tackle in rugby games. You go to a rugby game. They wrap tackle. They don't tackle with their heads. They don't hit like they do in football because they can't. They don't have the helmets. They don't have the protective gear. So if you wrap tackle like that, yeah, you can avoid that injury. But when you're talking about going after guys' safety, his knees, you're going after his income and his welfare and his personal being and that sort of thing. I mean, Brandon Marshall makes his living with his legs and his arms, and you go after his knees. I mean, that should be where somebody sits this guy down. Mark Trussman, I think, would be advising Mike Shanahan, hey, listen, sit this guy down, talk to him, and tell him you've got a strike zone from the shoulders to the knees. Find that. You know, just try to do what you can there, because this is stupid to say something like that, especially on the heels of a one-game suspension. They're going to be looking at this guy carefully.
Stupid Dez Bryant or stupid not Dez Bryant? That's just Dez Bryant from this last weekend.
Yeah, well, stupid Dez Bryant is stupid. That is Dez Bryant. I mean, that's what gives him the reputation that he's got. And as somebody pointed out to me this week, I mean, when you have guys like Jason Witten, DeMarcus Ware, and Tony Romo trying to say, hey, come on, stop it. Those are basically your team leaders on that ball club. This is not a guy. I heard Romo afterwards say, oh, it's just a rah-rah guy. I'm sorry, but rah-rah guys don't have to be restrained from their teammates. It's an issue with him, and it's what sort of held him back. Everyone always says he's extraordinarily talented. There is no question he's extraordinarily talented. Would you expect Larry Fitzgerald to do something like
that?
Not a chance. Larry Fitzgerald is a terrific player and a very talented player. He would never pull that stuff, and that's why Dez Bryant has that reputation. That's why guys basically don't trust him when there's some adversity. When there's adversity, I want a guy like Larry Fitzgerald who's playing in the fourth quarter against the Steelers in the Super Bowl, and that's what you get there. This guy, he goes into a shell or he goes after his teammates.
And I've seen Larry get fired up, but it's like Golden Tate waving goodbye the other night. I mean, you just see things. Calvin Johnson can go be amazing as he was on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Larry Fitzgerald can be in an awful situation, which he's been in for the most part out here the last 3 years.
Right.
And you don't see those two guys change at all. Golden Tate waving goodbye to somebody, just slap him upside the head and sit him down. I was glad Pete Carroll sat him down. And then on the Dez Bryant thing, I don't buy into this, well, it's just Dez being Dez. I just don't see that. I don't think that equates. You have to play under control and control your emotions.
So. Yeah, and I think this goes directly, honestly, to the head coach. And I feel for Jason Garrett, honestly, because what should happen. And I think, and honestly, the Tate thing, I'm glad you brought that up. When he came to the sidelines, I would have said, hey, Golden, terrific job. Go to the sidelines. Sit down. You're not coming back in the game. You don't behave like that on the field. With Dez Bryant, you really got to sit this guy down and have a serious talk with him. Like, yeah, you're embarrassing yourself and everyone else here, and we've got a team. This is not about you. We've got a team here. But Jason Garrett has got an owner who stands in one corner of the locker room and said, no problem with Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant's fine. Dez Bryant's fine. And so you're working for him, and you look at your owner saying that, and if you contradict him, what's going to be next? You're going to have a conversation with the owner. I think he's in a tough situation. Honestly, you've got to have a coach who's strong enough to sit on that guy and say, sit your butt down, shut up, and let's look at the clock here. We've got 12 seconds to go. I don't care if the odds are against us. We still have a chance, all right? We need you.
Sure.
We don't need this, and that's what should have happened, and it didn't.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time, as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge with us every week, all things NFL, around the National Football League with Clark Judge. On the other side, so the NCAA has come out with 5 new rules for recruiting. You know, we deal a lot with recruiting here in Arizona and just across the country. Some of these rules, I'm just like, you're kidding, right? A little bit more on the Suns and their opener last night and how that looked. Bruce Arians kind of got into some interesting ground yesterday. I want to touch on that and much more as we roll on a Halloween day and night. ASU plays tonight. Got an NFL game tonight. The Coyotes play tonight. There's a lot going on. I'm Brad Sussmath.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
So tonight I've got a 9-year-old who's doing a Halloween thing. I'm doing a pumpkin bowling deal at his school later where they take these pumpkins and they fill them up with chocolate, marshmallows, caramel, and they roll them down a bowling alley to a bunch of plastic, emptied out liter bottles. So, E, you're going to be married by this time next year. You'll have kids within a few years. Are you in a spot right now where you take care of trick-or-treaters? They don't even come by your house. Are you Scrooge in that way? Or
I don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
I get a couple. I mean, last year I didn't get any, and I got a bunch of candy, and it just sat there, and I ate it. So this year I'm wondering.
Do you feel like a loser when that happens? I mean, kind of. I'm alone. It's Halloween. I'm eating my own candy because nobody wants to come to my house.
Kind
that kind of sad.
And it's not like
You're an apartment, though, right?
No, I'm in a townhouse. Normal single family residence. I am.
Get out of here. You moved?
No.
You upgraded?
Come on.
Are you going to stay there?
I'm a homeowner.
Are you going to stay there?
No.
No. All right. But are you going to move to a place where there's kids running around? Or are you one of these people?
Get off my lawn. I live right by Paradise Valley High School. So there's lots of
kids. You're an affluent guy. Okay, I got it.
Not really.
I got it.
So, but I don't know. It's hit or miss. Because last year, no trick-or-treaters. But this year, if I don't get candy, they're going to come knocking on my door and I'm going to feel like an idiot because I don't have any candy.
There were years when I would do the show at my house on Halloween night out front. I would just go set up, and I had a studio at my house, and Eric and I were together even back then. And I would have the candy, and these kids would roll out. And then when I did the TV stuff over Channel 3, they'd bring out the satellite truck, and I'd have all the kids, like 50, 60 kids, and they'd look forward to being on TV in their costumes. I would dress up as SpongeBob. I've kept SpongeBob. The yellow tights, I've kind of broke them out of my backside. That tells me I'm not working out enough. But I am going to put SpongeBob back in play tonight. I'm thinking Sponge Brad, I believe, is how we're going to go about it. I thought about being a Rasta dude. I don't know. I mean, there's so much sports going on tonight. I take this job really serious. You know, you're slaving day and night. So I can't screw around too much tonight. But I'll take the 9-year-old around. I'll make sure I sift through his candy and take all the good stuff. That's what parents do. Have a little bit of an adult beverage and watch the ASU game. That's how this is going to play out tonight. It'll be fabulous. The NCAA has come up with 5 new rules. That's just what we need. Hey, let's have more rules. 5 new rules for football dealing with recruiting. Now, Eric, let's go through these. Because you and I, we see the high school end, we see the college end. We're in the middle of both spaces. Division I Board of Directors, new rules effective today. New rules. You can allow football players to participate in 8 hours per week of required weight training and conditioning. Up to 2 of the 8 hours can consist of film review.
Ooh, groundbreaking stuff. They can lift more weights.
They can lift more weights, or they can say, I'd rather watch film for 2 of those 8 hours. This again goes into how this is becoming a year-round job.
Right.
Okay. Number 2. Prohibiting school staff members from attending all-star games or activities associated with those games. That's not going to stop. What will happen is the coach will be in the parking lot now, or the coach will be at the Burger King across the street, or the coach will just happen to sort of be in the vicinity.
Coaches have people who have people.
There were NBA teams when Jahi was playing for the Oakland Soldiers in club ball. And it was his junior year, and I'm over at Mesquite High School in July. It's 115 degrees. There shouldn't be anybody there. And there was a couple of NBA teams who had their consultants, who, oh, by the way, work for shoe companies.
Good finger quotes right there, too.
And then there was the assistant trainer who just happened to bop on in for an unnamed NBA team who happens to be in Phoenix.
July in Phoenix is such a great destination.
Oh, come on. Let's get on a plane. Why not? I just happened to be in the neighborhood and wanted to see Jahi Carson. Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're with the Washington Wizards.
Right. So that, I mean, I understand that's on basketball. Okay, so this is football. So staff members can't go to All-Star games. There's going to be an extended dead period. No in-person recruiting can take place in December and January. So from December 16th through January 15th, that's now a dead period. What does that mean? It just means the kids' text messaging exactly. is going to go up exponentially.
The two key words in there is in-person.
Yeah, in-person.
No in-person recruiting.
That just means a text messaging at 3 in the morning saying, I'm thinking about you for another day.
Yeah, I just DM'd you on Twitter.
At 12:01 every night, I'm going to send you the first tweet of the next day saying, I'm so in love with you, I want you to come here and play football for me. They're going to have a 14-day dead period in late June and early July. What does that mean? It means, hey, we're on summer vacation, and I've got to check my phone because I have 5,000 inboxes from all these coaches. Doesn't mean a thing. Allowing schools to pay for meals. Okay, this is kind of interesting. They're going to allow schools to pay for meals for up to 4 family members who accompany a recruit on an official visit. Sorry to say, there's not a dollar figure attached here. How large are your family members that you're bringing, and how big a eaters are they?
It's ridiculous, though, that that's even a rule. So, like, if the kid's getting recruited and he's a big-time athlete and he wants to bring his family, the school should be able to pay for a couple meals.
Okay, how about this one? In other business, and Brett Hundley told me about this one, the board asked the leadership council, Brett's on the leadership council for UCLA, the NCAA asked the leadership council to study whether heavy reliance on online courses is appropriate for student-athletes.
Only if you're Johnny Football.
I don't think Taylor Kelly was taking online classes. All these guys take online classes. Towards their junior and senior years, they go play football and go online, and that's it.
That's exactly what you said. Most things, especially when they redshirt, Brad. By the time you're a redshirt junior or a redshirt senior, you're pretty much done with school.
You don't need to go to class. So I can sit here, and they can make a big blaring headline about big changes in the NCAA, and you and I can sit here, Eric, and figure out they're going to pay for 4 family members. Okay, and if all 4 of those family members love to eat 20 pounds of food, who's going to limit them on that? The segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Santan Ford, of course, general manager Tim Melvick, big Sun Devil fan. I know Tim. Tim may be in Pullman tonight. I haven't talked to him. He might have been one of those few that said, I'm going to Pullman. Knock yourself out, Tim. Santan Ford, a big part of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ as we travel with Arizona State and other sports around the calendar year in the state of Arizona. It's a place for you to go get that car, that truck. The F-150, guys, with the vacation season coming up for Thanksgiving, you've got relatives coming into town, or maybe you're traveling out of town, load up the truck, head on out in the F-150. Maybe going to the high country, doing some skiing, sledding, snowboarding. The F-150 makes a lot of sense. For me, it's the Fusion Hybrid. This morning, I did 100 miles this morning. Sick daughter, took her in, took her to school, drove out to a business appointment. Then on, I've already done 100 miles today in the Fusion Hybrid. My gas gauge barely moved. I'm getting 40 miles plus per gallon in the Fusion Hybrid from Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Of course, you can check out all sorts of sports content around the state of Arizona on sports360az.com. We're 2 years plus. You know, they tell you 90% of startups aren't around after year one. And then they tell you 90% more of those startups aren't around after year two. We're into year three. We're still here. sports360az.com. And of course, plenty of content on my mind on Twitter, at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. I'm there morning, noon, and night, just throwing up stuff that I find interesting. We appreciate White Mountain Radio, too. The good people of White Mountain Radio carrying the big show on a daily basis. I'm Brad Cesmat. It's a good Halloween day. ASU is hoping it's a good Halloween night. Hey, Jared, do we have any more Halloween music? I mean, you absolutely destroyed the first hour. It's fine. It's fine. It's the way it goes. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by ShopTates.com. ShopTates.com for all your automotive needs. Need a car, need a truck. It's as simple as going to Tates. Tates has been with us since day number one, 2+ years running here on Sports 360 AZ, doing our thing. And we appreciate their support. That's at shoptates.com. Let's go from Arizona as we talk on a daily basis what's going on in the world of sports up to Pullman, Washington. We're very pleased to hear Tim Healy back behind the microphone. No offense to our good friend and buddy Jeff Munn, who's been here a couple of times. It just doesn't feel quite right and not hearing Tim Healy. And Tim is going to be, I don't want to say you were sentenced to Pullman because there's parts of Pullman that are charming. But you are in Pullman for getting back behind the mic. How is the weather? How do you feel about tonight's game?
Well, first of all, it's good to be with you, Brad. It's a little bit, I was telling Eric Sorensen, your producer, a little bit overcast right now. It's a lot overcast right now. The temperature is supposed to be, for a high today, somewhere around 50 degrees. And this evening, it's supposed to get down probably into the upper, mid to upper 30s. But that's probably, you know, the coldest will be like overnight. I'm guessing at game time, it'll be somewhere in the low 40s. So it's going to be chilly, chillier than our guys are used to. But luckily, I don't think there's any forecast for weather like we had here 2 years ago when it was snowing an hour and a half before game time. It's going to be chilly, but you know, that's one thing I've kind of admired about Coach Graham in this period prior, leading up to this Washington State game. He doesn't want to hear anything about, oh, it's going to be cold or it's right. going to be this or that weather-wise. You know, he said none of that matters. You got to go out and play. And I was talking to Kevin Ozier, Sun Devil receiver, after practice the other day, and he basically said the same thing. He said, you know, if it's 85 degrees, if it's 35 degrees, we're football players. We're supposed to go out and play football. Who cares if it's cold? And that's the attitude, you know, you hope that these kids have, they need to have, because, you know, I mean, the weather affects both teams. Obviously, the Cougars practice in this kind of conditions more frequently, but nonetheless, you know, you still have to be able to go out and make plays and get it done, and you know, hopefully the Sun Devils will be able to do that tonight.
Tim Healy is in Pullman, Washington tonight, Arizona State football against Washington State, Halloween night. Tim will have the call on the Sun Devil Sports Network. ASU is not a good road team. Why is that from your view?
There's just something so far this year. They just don't seem to have the same kind of mojo about them when they take the field for a road game. And, you know, to be honest with you, they really have only had two away from home tests this year. You know, they played seven games this year, and only two of them have been away from Tempe, and only one of those, Stanford, was a true road game. The Notre Dame game in Texas was a neutral site, although it was a Notre Dame home game. But and if you think back to last year, the Sun Devils a year ago managed to win four games away from home. But clearly, they've played two really good teams. I think, you know, that has to be said. That they played so far away from home, including a Stanford team that is one of the five best in the country, clearly. But having said that, they just haven't, I don't know, they just haven't taken the field with the same kind of mojo or this air of confidence, I don't think, that they've had, that they clearly have when they play at home. I mean, watching that Washington game, as I watched from the stands a couple weeks ago, that was clearly the best performance by a Sun Devil team in the Todd Graham era. And, you know, if they can somehow find and bottle the magic potion to get that same kind of sense of self-esteem as a team, you know, going with them tonight and on the road, I mean, it would be wonderful, because they played a terrific game against a good quality opponent in Washington. And we'll see how they take the field tonight. Maybe that game will be a turning corner. But, you know, sometimes I've heard too, Brad, that it's kind of a cliche and it's a weird one, but in sports, sometimes the only way to have success is to have success. I mean, the only way you're going to learn how to win games is to actually go out and do it. And, you know, you just hope that they can find the right formula tonight and, you know, benefit from the 12 days off to heal and get some self-confidence from just the great all-around game they played against the Huskies October 19th and get it done tonight against a dangerous Washington State team. This Washington State team is a heck of a lot better than they were a year ago, as they're now in their second year under Mike Leach.
How are you going to handle tonight if Connor Holiday has thrown 60 balls by halftime? When I saw the 89 attempts the last time out for Wazoo, I'm thinking that's a 4.5-hour game easy. You guys could be there till midnight tonight, and that's not joking, with the game still going.
Absolutely not. I mean, you're completely correct on that one. I mean, this could be a long, long evening at the Ball Yard, and I wouldn't be. I fully expect that Holiday will throw a minimum, probably, of 55 to 60 passes. That's just what they do. That's Mike Leach's offense. You know, the passing game is almost like their running game, the short passing game, the quick screens to the wide receivers. That's the one play that Todd Graham, I think, is most concerned about with Washington State. And you're right. I mean, this is. I expect a high scoring shootout kind of game. I almost expect it, in some ways, to evolve into an arena league kind of game. Yeah, you know, when you watch an arena football league game, you always get the feel if one team can get a defensive stop, you know, that enables them to get a service break, if you will, to use a tennis metaphor, on their opponent. And, this could be like that. But I think Coach Graham would not take that statement kindly because, you know, his defense is his baby. And I think he feels as though, that his team will be able to find some way to slow down that Cougar passing game. And as Todd has said the last couple of weeks, Brad, you know, if I have the choice of defending a team that can run the ball or a team that throws a lot, to be honest with you, I'd rather play a team that throws a lot.
Okay.
You know, because teams that run the ball like Stanford can just physically impose their will on you if they do that. But I think he feels as though they can figure out some way to stop it. I mean, remember last year the Cougars only scored 7 points against Arizona State, although that game was in Tempe. That game was late in the season when Washington State was struggling and also having some internal issues on their football team. But I think it'll be a different story this year. They'll be a much tougher opponent. But you're absolutely right. This we're digging in for a long night's work in the booth tonight because it could be a lengthy ballgame.
Well, welcome back. Best of health and safe travels home. Appreciate the visit.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Tim Healy, voice of the Sun Devils from Pullman, Washington. ASU, Washington State, that will be tonight.